In order to fully understand the linguistic component of emigration from Iran to Europe, it must also be borne in mind that we often register as Iranians migrants who arrived in Iran from two Middle Eastern realities from which large waves of migration date back about 40 years, namely Iraq and Afghanistan. Though Afghans have a long history of visiting Iran as migrant workers, pilgrims, or merchants, the Soviet invasion in 1979 was a turning point in Afghan migration to Iran, resulting in a population of 3 million refugees at its peak in 1991. The other major source of migration to Europe is that of the Iraqi refugees. Although Iraqi refugees come from various backgrounds, they can be divided into three main groups. Iraqi Shiite, that is, Muslim Arabs who were persecuted under Saddam Hussein's regime. Sunni Muslim Kurds and Faili Kurds, that is, Shiites who Saddam stripped of citizenship because their ancestors were from Iran. They all fled Iraq to escape persecution under Saddam's regime. The first Iraqi refugees arrived in the 1970s, mainly when Saddam crushed a Kurdish rebellion in northern Iraq. The Faili Kurds, who are Shiite unlike most Kurds who are Sunni, were declared Iranian by Saddam, even though Iran considered them Iraqis. In both cases, hundreds of thousands of Afghan and Iraqi citizens who have learned but a few rudiments of Persian in the years of passage through Iranian refugee camps or other similar realities, use Persian in Europe, only because their native language would have an even less chance of being understood by the European citizens. Therefore, any programs for the recovery of their culture through their language would encounter even greater difficulties than those that constitute an ethnically and culturally homogeneous group, as, for example, Romanians or Sri Lankans in Italy. With regard to this last aspect, that of cultural recovery, I would just like to mention an issue that has been studied by Joshua Fishman and more recently by Brian Spooner in the volume Language Policy and Language Conflict in Afghanistan and its Neighbors. Based on qualitative interviews with speakers of a variety of languages, including Serbian, Uzbek, Tamil, and Ukrainian, Fishman found that the weak, that is symbolic and reflective, and the strong, that is essential and causal, connections between the native language and ethno-national subjectivities are simultaneously expressed. However, the latter, the stronger connection, always tended to be the predominant one. Whether a culture's land and language are contiguous, or its language is a social tissue spread across a diasporic web, language is often experienced in this strong, essential, and causal way. With its own particular, chosen, and beloved language, each ethno-cultural or ethno-national group has felt, claimed, and created an association and identity that are simultaneously experienced as eternally, creatively, and inspirationally inseparable, to quote just a few words from one of Fishman's essays. Though Fishman does not refer directly to Persian, it's easy to see how important this notion of a beloved language must be to Iranians living abroad or at home. In Iranian national culture, Persian is both the common language and the repository for a long-honored tradition of poetry, including the generally pre-Islamic themes of Iran's great national epic, Ferdowsi's Shahnameh, a poem of about 50,000 double lines composed in Transoxiana in the 10th century. Today, the Persian language, as an ethnolinguistic essence, as a cultural performance, and as an epistemological framework, continues to be important for Iranian exiles in the United States, in Europe, and elsewhere. Privileging the beloved language is complicated by Iran's multicultural and multilingual history, by the fact that many Iranians also speak varieties of Turkish, dialects of Persian, and Iranian non-Persid languages. In the Iranian diaspora, the status of Persian is further complicated as Persian becomes an artifact of the past in the personal lives of the immigrants. In the context of the United States, for example, where the problem has been studied, one might venture to say that many Iranian Americans will eventually have the same relationship to Persian that third or fourth generation Italian Americans or other white non-Latino ethnic groups have to their old world languages. Although this is perhaps not the place to discuss the problems of the valorization of the sociolinguistic heritage of our students, no one can fail to see the great usefulness of projects like the one we've been involved in, whereby every institution has tried to involve a congruous number of students for the creation of their own dictionary, while creating workshops on different languages, giving centrality to languages less known on the territory. Therefore, I wish to thank the organizers of this project, who have allowed us to participate in such an unusual experience in terms of university teaching, but so forward-looking in the slow progress towards the new multilingual Europe.